Greetings, one and all, and happy Sabbath to those gathered here and those on the phone and those listening to the recording. Praise God for His merciful kindness throughout this past week and for His many answers to prayers and blessings and divine protection over each one of us. And praise His holy name for enabling each one of us to gather back together once again to dig into His word of inspiration and indeed worship Him in spirit and in truth. So welcome, dear ones. And it's good to be back in fellowship with you all once again. Our opening song is titled Face to Face. And I felt it very appropriate, especially when we're dealing with Moses there on Mount Sinai and the Lord God Michael passing by him, declaring his glorious name and character. And Jesus is still willing to do the same with each one of us. So face to face. And our dearest sister Joan will sing this song for us.
Good evening, everyone. My sister and I are going to attempt to sing a duet on this song. Praise God for this song.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see
a blissful
to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see.
Amen. Praise God indeed. And thank you, dear sisters, for that beautiful duet. It's now time for opening prayer to tonight's service, and our dear sister Teresa will offer that for us.
Greetings to everyone, and Sabbath blessings to each one of you. If you could kneel and ready your hearts for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this Sabbath that you've given to us. Thank you for bringing your people together tonight to worship you, to hear more of the precious words, the wonderful words about you, about our Father, about the Holy Spirit, about the Word of God, about truth. Bless and anoint our elder tonight as he speaks through the Spirit, the words given to him. And thank you so much that we have an elder who knows the Lord and who hears the Spirit, and who gives faithfully your words of truth. Bless and keep him, I pray, and his. And I pray that for each one of us, Lord, that you would bless us and keep us and strengthen us and help us to hear tonight what you have for us. And help us to keep ourselves, Lord, to keep ourselves. And while we keep ourselves, to know that you're keeping us too. What more could we have? Your grace surrounding us entirely. I pray that you would just magnify yourself tonight through our hearts and bless this Sabbath tonight and tomorrow in every way. And I pray for those who aren't with us tonight that you would be with them in their Sabbath keeping. And thank you for bringing us all here safely. Thank you so much. It's such.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We're continuing in our study book of Patriarchs and Prophets. And we're in chapter 28 that deals with the idolatry at Mount Sinai. And we left off about a third of the way down on page 329 to the paragraph that starts out, Moses made haste. And the last thing we were talking about was Christ literally picking up Moses and putting him gently in a cleft of the rock. In other words, there was a split in the mountain face that was big enough for Moses to be in, but yet was shielding his right and left vision field. So he could see directly in front of him, but he couldn't see very much to the right or the left. And so Christ put him gently in that cleft, and then Christ began to proclaim himself. And he said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. And can you imagine such a scene as that taking place? I mean, the Lord God, Jesus Christ, picking you up as an individual and gently putting you in an area to where you could hear what he had to say, and he could pass by you, and yet you would not be destroyed by his bright glory. This is what Moses was experiencing. I mean, just something unheard of. And yet it was occurring with him because he asked Jesus to reveal his way, his character, his actions, and to show him his glory so that he would be able to more correctly represent the character of his God to the rest of the Israelites. And Jesus Christ is still willing to reveal his glory to each one of us, dear ones, to open our minds to comprehend more of who he is, so that we in turn might, by beholding him, become changed into his image, his character, and thus rightly reveal him, our God, to those around us. So that's where we left off last Friday evening, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Again he entreated that God would pardon the iniquity of his people and take them for his inheritance. His prayer was granted. The Lord graciously promised to renew his favor to Israel and in their behalf to do marvels such as had not been done in all the earth nor in any nation. Now Christ had just delivered them from Egyptian bondage. Those were mighty marvels and miracles. And yet, Christ promised to do even more in behalf of his people. Why? Why would Christ be willing to do more for the children of Israel when they had just apostatized from him? Amen. Because he loved them. Love suffereth all things. Love is not easily provoked. It suffereth long. Amen. And God is love. Also another comment, it says, he was willing to do so for his name's sake. And amen, indeed. It was God's purpose in bringing the children of Israel out in such a marvelous way from Egyptian bondage to evangelize the entire world and to let them know that he alone is their God. So in showing long-suffering and merciful compassion with the children of Israel in their waywardness and correcting them in measure and in love and yet with justice, God's way, his character, was being revealed to all the heathen world. And it was also his purpose to use his people to evangelize. Not just his miracles, but his individual followers to evangelize the world. And to reveal to others what great things God has done for their soul. Continuing. 40 days and 40 nights Moses remained in the mount, and during all this time, as at the first, he was miraculously sustained. In other words, he wasn't eating. He wasn't drinking. His Creator was sustaining all the body functions of Moses. So, when, as we understand, the righteous are having to flee from the wicked during the time of trouble, and the righteous aren't going to be able to buy or sell, and if they're driven from their homes, obviously they're not going to be near any gardens that they have planted their food, and having to flee, they're not going to be able to carry very much food with them. And you find yourself out in the wilderness, and your stomach begins to grumble, and you're thirsty. Are you going to lose faith? Are you going to give up and go back to the populated areas and give in to receive the mark of the beast? Or are you going to recognize that God, as your Creator, can sustain you even though you're hungry and thirsty? Just like he sustained Moses. Just like he sustained Elijah. And this was the second time that Moses had been sustained for 40 days and 40 nights. So if God's able to do that, 80 days, well, let's say 76 days, without food or water, within a month's time, or 2 months' time, if God is able to do that, then he can surely sustain each one of us. Amen. We have to exercise faith. Now, it's very well to learn what foods are edible in the wilderness, especially around your area, so that if you are fleeing for your life, you're able to recognize those foods that you can eat, or at least those foods you can help others to eat, and thus encourage their faith and trust in God. But if you find yourselves in an area that you have no idea what's edible, what's drinkable, then remember that God, as your Creator, can sustain you because he knows your system. He knows how to sustain it. Amen. God always provides. So 40 days and 40 nights Moses remained in the mount, and he ate and drank nothing all of this time. God miraculously sustained him. Continuing. No man had been permitted to go up with him, nor during the time of his absence were any to approach the mount. At God's command, he had prepared two tables of stone and had taken them with him to the summit. And again, the Lord wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So here was another 40 days and 40 night opportunity for the children of Israel to allow their imagination to run wild and believe that something terrible has happened to Moses, and they now have to take control and go back to Egypt. Did they do that? Did they repeat their apostasy the first time? The answer is no. They learned their lesson, at least at this time. Continuing. During that long time spent in communion with God, the face of Moses had reflected the glory of the divine presence. Unknown to himself, his face shone with a dazzling light when he descended from the mountain. What was this dazzling light? It was the reflection of some of God's glory. And what did we learn was God's glory? Amen. It was his name, his goodness, his character. So now here, some of this glorious light has been absorbed by the face of Moses, and his face is glowing a little bit. Continuing. Such a light illumined the countenance of Stephen when brought before his judges. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Acts 6:15. So here Moses was in the direct glory and presence of Jesus Christ, the Lord God Michael. And his face shone with a dazzling light. But Stephen wasn't in the cleft of the rock. Stephen wasn't in the direct presence of the Lord God Michael or Jesus Christ. But yet, Stephen's face shone just as brightly as the face of Moses. Why? Comment in the room. They had faith. Another comment. It was God's presence. Again, what is God's glory? Amen. It's his character. Stephen, when he was before the council, was relating the character of God and his relationship with the Israelites throughout the ages of history. And he finally got down to the point of the current day, the present day Israelites, and said, God doesn't dwell in buildings. He doesn't dwell in this temple. He dwells in the hearts of his obedient people. Stephen was relating the character of God, and his face shone with the same illuminated, dazzling light that the face of Moses shone with. And dear ones, when we dwell upon the character of God, when we absorb His character in our minds and hearts, then people will look on us and realize, they'll see that we have been with the Lord. God's glory is His character. Moses' face was shining with the divine character. The same with Stephen. The same with each one of us. So Moses comes walking down from Mount Sinai, and he doesn't recognize that his face is glowing. Continuing. Aaron, as well as the people, shrank away from Moses, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Why? Amen. That's a good point. Not answering the question, but the comment in the room, it says, Satan desired God's power, but not His character. Amen. So a comment in answer to the question as to why is the comment, they were convinced of God's holiness. Another comment is they didn't understand why His face was shining. They were afraid. What happened when Adam and Eve chose to sin? Something literally happened. They hid themselves, that's true. They knew they were naked, that's true. What caused them to know they were naked and to hide themselves? Amen. They lost the light that covered them as a garment. They were no longer innocent. Here the children of Israel became afraid of the dazzling light shining from the face of Moses, and they drew away from him. They were convicted of their sins. They were not innocent. They were guilty, but had been forgiven. So Moses comes down, he sees Aaron and the rest of the people shrinking away from him. Continuing. Seeing their confusion and terror, but ignorant of the cause, he urged them to come near. He held out to them the pledge of God's reconciliation and assured them of His restored favor. They perceived in His voice nothing but love and entreaty, and at last one ventured to approach Him. Too awed to speak, He silently pointed to the countenance of Moses and then toward heaven. The great leader understood His meaning. In their conscious guilt, feeling themselves still under the divine displeasure, they could not endure the heavenly light, which, had they been obedient to God, would have filled them with joy. There is fear in guilt. The soul that is free from sin will not wish to hide from the light of heaven. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, dear ones, before we continue? Amen. Comment in the room, it says, what freedom in Jesus. Amen indeed. The conscious realization that Christ has forgiven us all our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness means there is no guilt. It's been washed away. We've been freed from it in the Savior. And thus there's no need to fear. And without fear, you can be filled with joy. The light of heaven is no longer painful. It's no longer pointing out your sins and guilt. But it's now pointing out to you the truth and the way to salvation. That's cause for rejoicing. It's opening your mind to behold the character of your God. And by beholding Him, then you're being changed more and more into His glorious image.
I was just thinking about when you're cleaning the house, you need to have the light on so you can see where all the dirt is. And that's kind of like the heavenly light. It shows you whether you have sin or not, because sin is like dirt. So God's light illumines your mind and His love cleans your heart.
Amen. And when all the dirt has finally been removed from the house, then you're extremely joyful and content. I know my wife is. Amen. Comment in the room, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen indeed. So the soul that is free from sin will not wish to hide from the light of heaven. Continuing. Moses had much to communicate to them, and compassionating their fear, he put a veil upon his face and continued to do so thereafter whenever he returned to the camp from communion with God. By this brightness, God designed to impress upon Israel the sacred, exalted character of His law and the glory of the gospel revealed through Christ. While Moses was in the mount, God presented to him not only the tables of the law, but also the plan of salvation. He saw that the sacrifice of Christ was prefigured by all the types and symbols of the Jewish age, and it was the heavenly light streaming from Calvary, no less than the glory of the law of God, that shed such a radiance upon the face of Moses. That divine illumination symbolized the glory of the dispensation of which Moses was the visible mediator, a representative of the one true intercessor. So during those 40 days and 40 nights, Michael not only passed by Moses and proclaimed his character, but he also opened to his understanding the plan of salvation, the sacrifice of Christ, the types and symbols of the Jewish age, in other words, the sanctuary and the priesthood and the sacrifices, as well as the glory of the law of God. God's law is his character. And all of this abundant heavenly light radiated upon the face of Moses, and it changed him. And dear ones, that heavenly light streaming from Calvary will also change you. That's why the anchor of our faith is found in the heavenly sanctuary. It's found in our great high priest, Jesus Christ. And that's why the devil hates the sanctuary message and is doing everything he possibly can to degrade the atonement, to lessen the importance of the sanctuary and Christ's ministration there and work in our behalf as the one true intercessor between God and mankind. The devil knows that if you understand the symbols, the types, and the figures of the earthly sanctuary, that you will then begin to understand in a greater way the heavenly sanctuary, the plan of salvation, Christ's work in your behalf, God's reason for making possible your salvation. And you cannot help but fall in love with the Godhead, loving them more than anything this world can offer you. That's why the devil is attacking it left and right and making people believe it's no big thing, that Christ did it all for them, so they just sit back, grab hold of the rope, and Christ will drag them to heaven. That's not how it is. Our God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but will by no means clear the guilty. The only way you can have that guilt forever removed is by coming directly to Jesus Christ, confessing and forsaking your sins, pleading with him to cleanse you, to justify you, to purify and sanctify you, to give you the grace to no longer live the old man or old woman experience, but to live the new life in Christ. To remove your guilt and thus set you free. All of that is found in the sanctuary message, in the message of the atonement. But the devil doesn't want you to find that truth. He doesn't want your face to shine with the glory of God so that other people will notice it and want to know more about it. He doesn't want you to find freedom in Christ and joyfulness in the God of your salvation. But it's all there in the sanctuary. It's all there in the message of Christ as your great high priest. So Moses asked the Lord God Michael to show him his way. And Christ opened up the light of heaven about the sanctuary and all its symbols. So there's glorious light in studying, dear ones, the sanctuary message. Please spend time doing so. And you will not be disappointed. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. The character, the glory of God is found in the sanctuary message. And once you understand it, then you will say, who is so great a God as our God, as my great high priest? Psalm 77:13, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Amen. That's a scripture song. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Psalm 77:13. Amen. Back in 2013 and 14, we did a series covering quite a few months dealing on the sanctuary, the earthly sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, the sanctuary of our bodies, and then the different body systems showing in great detail how our bodies are built as the sanctuary or temple of God. And if you would like to go back over that series, please visit the home church section in the archives, recorded archives of 2013 and 14. And it was just marvelous, dear ones, to behold the glory of God as seen in all the types and symbols of the earthly sanctuary, and then to realize that it was all patterned after the heavenly sanctuary and the great plan of our salvation and redemption. Marvelous indeed. So that divine light from heaven illuminated the face of Moses.
Well, happy Sabbath again, everyone. And I just want to say that I would like to listen to that. May God give us the time and the desire to hear that because of the richness of the truth that would be in that message that I would anticipate. I've been in Hebrews lately, in Hebrews 9, 10, 11, 12, and noting in Hebrews 10 where he's talking about the way into the holy, to the holiest, you know, the Holy of Holies, and you see in the sanctuary that led into the way, it's all Christ. It's the light, you know, the candlestick, he's the light, and that we enter through, we have to have the light of Christ and of truth, and I just know a little bit from just my study off and on in Hebrews through the year and some that I've been taught, but, and then the bread, he's the bread, and then he purifies us, the washing, and, you know, just all of it is the way. Christ is the way into holiness. And that the new covenant is the way of holiness. The new covenant is opened it all up for us to come to the death to self, is what I'm seeing. And he did it all. And he suffered, you know, when I think, as the Lord recently showed me that he did come in the flesh. He came in the fallen nature and without any advantage except that he never sinned, but he didn't take any other advantage upon himself so that he could overcome, that we might overcome, and that he made holiness, perfect holiness possible, and to wrap my mind around that and focus my prayers on that, and that Christ is everything. I'm to eat Christ. I'm to pray Christ. I'm to Christ, Jesus Christ. And, you know, so it's just amazing. And I hope God help me to have to hear this. I want to take the time out to hear this because I've always been just fascinated by the book of Hebrews and by the sanctuary and all that Christ has done for us. I know it would be a rich blessing. And this has been a wonderful blessing, this message tonight. May God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you too, dear sister. And perhaps in the future we'll go back over some of the sanctuary message and have it as a refresher course, because I know with me, when I'm listening to a sermon or watching a video, I may catch half of what's shared, and the rest of it is sort of beyond my ability to assume or to understand. But if I go back and listen to the sermon or watch the video a year later, I've grown in grace and in knowledge more, and thus I can understand a greater amount than I was previously. And so there's a continuing benefit going back over the truth, because what you missed or couldn't comprehend the first time, you're now in a much better position to understand the second time. And thus, even though you've heard it before, now it's still something new. Even though it's old truth, yet you're recognizing something new in it. And thus it takes on a greater appreciation. So perhaps in the future we'll go back over some of that study on the sanctuary. So when Moses came down from the mountain, seeing God's character manifested in the plan of salvation, in the sanctuary message, and in his Ten Commandments, illuminated the face of Moses. And it brought fear upon those that were conscious of their guilt. But that light, that message of truth that Moses absorbed, brought from him mercy and compassion, and they perceived in his voice nothing but love and entreaty, assuring them that God had forgiven them and that he would accompany them. In other words, dwell in their midst. So when we absorb the meaning of the sanctuary, seeing Christ in the law, understanding the plan of salvation and God's true character, even though the message of truth that we present to the people will make them conscious of their sins and their guilt, yet they will perceive in our voice, in our message, in our manners towards them, nothing but love and entreaty and the assurance that God will forgive them all their sins and bring them back into His favor. Amen. And that comment in the room, as if we had never sinned. That's how sufficient and complete the cleansing blood of our Savior is. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us as if we had never sinned at all. That is just merciful love. And that's in the sanctuary, dear ones. That truth is taught there. Continuing. The glory reflected in the countenance of Moses illustrates the blessings to be received by God's commandment-keeping people through the mediation of Christ. It testifies that the closer our communion with God and the clearer our knowledge of His requirements, the more fully shall we be conformed to the divine image, and the more readily do we become partakers of the divine nature. So the same experience that Moses went through, the same experience that Stephen went through, we also can go through by drawing closer to Christ and spending more time communicating with Him, contemplating His law, recognizing the symbols and the types found in the earthly sanctuary and how it compares to the heavenly sanctuary and Christ's ministration in our behalf. We can have that same experience of being conformed to the divine image, becoming more like our God in character. Continuing. Moses was a type of Christ as Israel's intercessor, veiled his countenance because the people could not endure to look upon its glory. So Christ, the divine mediator, veiled his divinity with humanity when he came to earth. Had he come clothed with the brightness of heaven, he could not have found access to men in their sinful state. They could not have endured the glory of his presence. Therefore, he humbled himself and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, Romans 8:3, that he might reach the fallen race and lift them up. So just as Moses veiled the glory of his countenance so that he could come closer to the Israelites and teach them more of God's truth, his true character, his compassion, his love for them, so Christ veiled his divinity with humanity so that he could come closer to each one of us and lift us up away from sin, away from error, and bring us to our Father. Bring us back home. Amazing. Praise our holy Godhead for making all this possible in our lives today. We're reading what took place thousands of years ago. But our Godhead changes not, and thus what occurred in the past can also occur today with each one of us. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as you are, our God? Are there any questions or thoughts or comments, dear ones? We've reached the end of chapter 28, and next time we'll begin at chapter 29.
Seven blessings, everybody. Hugs and love. I need Noah's Ark. We've had such terrible storms that I pray for everybody that's endured this storm out here in Florida, this hurricane. But as always, I testify as what God does for me. Everybody by now knows I live in a little shack in the woods. And by the grace of God, with all this horrific storms that we've had out here, my little house is safe. I'm safe. My pups are safe. And not a scratch, not a broken window, nothing. Once again, praise the Lord. And my dear sister Teresa, I want to thank you for your prayers. And obviously, Brother Robert, for your prayers as well. Because we thought it was going to be a lot worse where I'm located, but it has been terrible. We haven't had a hurricane in about 11 years. And back 11 years ago, we got hit back-to-back several times in a row. But like I said, I live in a 160-square-foot shack in the woods with no amenities of much, but God is always there for me. And I testify, I share what I have to say, what my God does for me. Also, I had put out some tracks when I went out the past couple of days, and I was in a store today to pick up a few little things, and I saw this man and this lady in front of me, and I had made a comment. I said, is there only one cashier? And the lady said to me, she said, don't worry about it. I only have one or two little things. I said, okay, that's fine. So in the meantime, the husband was looking at one of the tracks. And the wife was kind of looking at it while they were waiting for the other people. So I had another one in my pocket, and I walked up to her, and I handed her one. She goes, oh, no, I already have one. I said, yes. I said, by the grace of God. I said, I put them out the other day. So I was really amazed. And I told him, I said, this is not a conversion. I said, I don't convert anybody. God does that. I said, this is just an edification. Maybe you don't know some of the information on here, on this particular track. And, you know, there's a lot of information out there. Say, I learn every day. Every second of the day, the Lord teaches me. And I said, this. So don't be, dismayed by the fact that this is some group of people or a group of churches trying to convert you into their. I said, that's not what I do. I said, I hand out the truth, God's truth, not my truth or anybody else. And I said, if you want to know God's truth, I said, there's only one way to find out. I said, go to God, ask him, and teach and learn. I said, because I'm doing the same way. But anyhow, that was a blessing. That was the first time in a long time that I've come across somebody that picked up one of my tracks or whatever I had out there, and I actually saw them with it. So it really was awesome that I praise God for that. It may not be a big thing that only one person had it, but it was a big thing to me, so I was really pleased with that. And another thing, I have to really, really, really turn around and praise the Lord. I was blessed in this past couple of weeks, and some of my close friends here know, I was blessed with what they call a sun oven, a giant solar oven, and it's just wonderful. Unfortunately, Satan thinks he's funny because now we have all the hurricanes and I can't use it because there's no sun. But right now, yes, I was blessed with it. So praise the Lord. You can do a multitude of things with this. It's not just for cooking. You can pasteurize water, not sterilize it, but pasteurize it. You can dry out firewood if you have to. You can sterilize your cooking utensils, whatever the case may be. So God is so good to me, and I don't have much of anything in life, according to a lot of people, I guess, but I have a mighty God that loves me, and a lot of close friends that pray for me and care about me. So I have a lot of things in my life. But anyhow, you know me, I always testify because how can we not testify for what God does for us? And he, like I said, God owes us nothing, and he gives us everything. So I'm very grateful. So happy Sabbath, folks. Hugs and love. Have a great night, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Well, amen. And praise the Lord indeed, dear sister, for God protecting you. And we'll be continuing to hold you up in prayer that through the remainder part of the storm and any others that may come, God will continue to lovingly hold you in his protecting arms and give you that much more to glorify his name in a living testimony. We'll also keep that couple in our prayers that they'll allow the truth to bring them closer to salvation. And I also have a gigantic praise the Lord. I mentioned last Sabbath that our car of 13 years finally gave up. God had blessed us with nearly 200,000 miles on that car. And so we requested your prayers and petitions to God on our behalf on what to do. And on finding another vehicle. And so I did my homework. I got online, was searching through all kinds of used cars and thought that I had found the ones that would work best for myself and my wife and the ministry. But we gave God full control to rule and overrule in all our plans. And as it turned out, not one single car that my wife and I thought would be the best turned out to be the best. It was a completely different car that God led us to, and he miraculously worked out a way for us to obtain it. And he'll continue to work his marvelous miracles of love in allowing us to pay it off. So God be praised. We have a new used car. And thank you so much for your prayers and petitions in our behalf. They were most welcome and appreciated, dear ones. And praise our God for his answers to prayer and for his marvelous works to each one of us.
Amen. Well, how many blessings that these things have been received. And speaking of praises, I like to sing a scripture song that may be what may have been and a blessing from that everyone and has ever received, either from safety from storms or gain things that they need. He is a wonderful Savior, and that's the name of the song which I'm about to sing. It is called "What a Wonderful Savior." Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I praise him for the cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He cleansed my heart from all its sin. What a wonderful Savior. And now he reigns and rules therein. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He walks beside me all the way. What a wonderful Savior. And keeps me faithful day by day. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior. And triumph in each trying hour. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. To him I've given all my heart. What a wonderful Savior. The world shall never share apart. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
Well, I have a song that I'd like to sing. It's Psalm 98, and it just gives glory to the Lord for what he has done for us and made possible for us. And my heart's just filled to want to sing this tonight, Psalm 98. I haven't sang it in a while, so I hope Lord help me to sing it to his glory. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth make a loud noise and rejoice in singing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a song, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Praise God, Psalm 98. Beautiful song.
Amen. That was beautiful, dear sister. And thank you so much for sharing it with us. And thank you, dear Brother Josh, for sharing that hymn. And I believe that's the first time I've heard that one. So thank you so much. And continue to share new songs with us, brother. And thank you for edifying us. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and have a closing prayer to tonight's service. And if there's any other thoughts or comments or songs or testimonies, then please feel free to do so afterwards. But let us go ahead and bow our heads and our knees for a closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love. Thank you so much for being a God that's close at hand and not one that's far off. Thank you, dear Savior, for your great sacrifice and mediation in our behalf, that we might be able to come back into direct connection and communication with our Father. I pray, dear Father, that you will continue to hear and answer our prayers according to thy perfect will, and thank you so much for your divine protection with our dear sister Susan and the other brothers and sisters that we have in harm's way of the hurricane and the other storms all around the world. Thank you so much for protecting them, for protecting us. And thank you so much for already working to deliver us and to set our feet on a greater uplifted position, especially on our Savior and the truth, but also in the affairs of life, and revealing to us that you are indeed in control and that we have nothing to fear or worry about because you love us and care for our welfare. Thank you so much for being such a loving and compassionate God. And it is indeed a privilege and an honor to lift our voices in praising you and glorifying your name for all the marvelous works that you have revealed in our lives and will continue to do so as you are faithful and the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I pray that you will hear and answer the prayer requests and petitions that have been asked by thy people, those that are silent, those that are private, and thank you for knowing each one and already working to bring it about in our lives according to thy perfect will. Thank you for opening the doors and closing the doors. Thank you for arranging circumstances and situations not according to our plans, but according to your wisdom and foresight. We give you full control of our lives, dear Father, and thank you so very much that we're a day closer to being with you for eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, dear ones, is there any other thoughts or comments, questions, songs or requests? Any other testimonies that you'd like to share? And please feel free. Amen. Amen. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the daughters of God. 1 John 3:1. Amen. A comment in the room, it says, it's so wonderful to love and to have the love of God in the heart. Amen indeed. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you again in just a few hours. May God give you sweet dreams. May He indeed reveal Himself to be a God that is close at hand, a God that is right there with you to lead and guide you according to His will. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you in the morning. And those on the other side of the world, I pray that you'll have a wonderful remaining part of the Sabbath day, and that God will indeed bless you with the extra grace and strength that is necessary to be able to handle the new coming week. So, dear ones, keep looking up. And I would like to leave you with this scripture song. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19.